If you would take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. I just want to look at the second half of that verse today. Center the message around those thoughts. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, I want to talk to you about a Christian's primary responsibility. A Christian's primary responsibility, or the top priority in the life of a Christian. After you become a Christian, then what? What is your responsibility? What should be the top priority in your life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would take these words today and, Lord, you would just tailor make them for each person, that there would be something that everyone could receive from the message this morning. But I pray, Lord, that you would not let anyone leave here today, that they couldn't walk out of this building saying, I am full of the Spirit of the living God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. They tell me that it's impolite to ask personal questions. I'm going to be impolite for a few minutes this morning because I want to ask you a very personal question. And the question is this: are you full of the Holy Spirit? I didn't ask you, is the Holy Spirit indwelling you? Because if you're saved, that is the case. He is indwelling you. I'm not asking you if you've ever been filled with the Spirit. I am asking you right now at this present time, are you full of the Holy Spirit? The question can be answered yes, no, or I don't know. But I want you to know that the filling of the Holy Spirit is available, and more than that, more than being available, it is the obligation of every child of God. It is your primary responsibility to make sure that you are full of the Spirit. It should be the priority for you in the Christian life. Man is a spiritual being, and he has a need for supernatural experiences. It's just a part of his nature. We are made up, part of us is spirit. And man is going to have a supernatural experience. If he cannot find it inside the church, he will find it outside the church. If he cannot have an experience with the Holy Spirit, he'll have one with an unholy spirit. And more I've been talking with pastors who stand bewildered before their people because they can't seem to anymore move them or to bless them. And I believe that the solution, the greatest need, is for men and women to be filled with the Spirit of God. And it's my prayer that every Christian will claim that right for themselves. Because you can know Jesus, and you can know him to be real in your life. You can know the peace that passes all understanding. You can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you can live a life where even the valleys are on higher ground. That's my prayer for each of you this morning. Maybe you've had personal weaknesses that you have struggled with, that have haunted you and humiliated you even before you were saved, and you just carried those things over into the Christian life. I want you to know today that there is a God who is able to overcome anything that you have done in your past. And the Holy Spirit can move into your life today with new energy, with new power, and with new force. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? As Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Now I want to share with you three simple things concerning the filling of the Spirit and this particular verse of Scripture. What does it mean? First of all, the filling of the Holy Spirit is a command. It is a command of God. The verb there is an imperative verb. It's giving a command. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not a suggestion from God. It's not God expressing a desire. It's my desire that every Christian be filled. No, God is uttering a command here. Be filled with the Spirit. Did you realize that if you are not filled with the Spirit this morning, then you are disobeying a command of God? I know that might hurt. Ouch. But we could be living in disobedience to God because the command is to be filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is not a luxury item in the Christian life. It's not optional equipment. You know, you go to the car dealer, you pick out the new car that you want to buy. You can get some of the equipment that you want. Others, you know, I don't need this. That's just luxury. You can leave it off. The Christian life, the filling of the Holy Spirit, is not optional. It should be standard equipment on every Christian. You know, and I've discovered in my life a basic precept essential to spiritual success. And that is this: my total inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. I've discovered that. I'm not able to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. That's right. Without him, we can't do anything. And if you happen to forget everything else that I say today, I wish you'd remember this one thing, that you would come to the place where you're willing to acknowledge this, that without God, you can't do anything. You have an inability to do anything for yourself in the spiritual realm. And until you acknowledge that, God cannot use you to the fullest. My total inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. One of my favorite characters in all the Bible is Elijah. I love reading about Elijah. And one of the greatest exhortations or one of the greatest sermons ever preached was preached by Elijah on Mount Carmel. Read it sometime. You'll be blessed. But the amazing thing was that after Elijah delivered this tremendous message, the Bible says they answered him not a word. You know, I think I've preached there before. They answered him not a word. They didn't say anything. But as soon as the fire came down from heaven and people saw the power of God, you know what they did? They got on their faces and they said, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God." And Elijah just simply says, "Why are you halting between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. If he's not God, don't bother with it. But if he's God, then you need to serve him." People fall on their faces as the fire from heaven falls. And they said, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God." You know, I really don't care much if you don't say anything when I preach, as long as you respond when the fire of God falls. That's what we need, right? We need God to show himself powerful and alive. And God wants to do that. He's not holding back. I'll show you what it means, though, to be filled with the Spirit. In order for that to happen, in order for that to take place. Now, you cannot do what God has called you to do unless the Spirit of God is filling you. And Jesus said, speaking of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, "If you would come to me and drink, I'll give you rivers of living water." In fact, he says in John chapter 7, let me read it for you. John chapter 7, verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying," I just love this. Can you imagine everybody's feasting? They're partying, and all of a sudden Jesus stands up. What does he say? He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." If anybody's here that is thirsty, I can quench your thirst. Come unto me. I'll give you a drink. I'll offer you living water, like he said to the woman at the well. "And the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. It'll be satisfying. It'll quench your thirst." He went on to say, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You see, it's so simple. Jesus said, "You supply the riverbed, I'll supply the river." You be the riverbed, I'll supply the river. I've never seen anybody blessed by a dry riverbed. Have you? I went canoeing with the youth, and we went down the river. And at one point, we got stuck. Our canoe got stuck on a sandbar. So we had to get out of the canoe and carry our canoe until we got into deeper water. That wasn't fun. It wasn't fun at all. What if the whole experience was like that? What if the whole riverbed was dried up? You think anybody would go out there and carry their canoes through there? I wouldn't. But see, all Jesus is asking you to be is the vessel. All he's asking you to be is the riverbed. And he said, if you come to me and you just make yourself available and you offer yourself, then I will fill your being. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You know, the tragedy today is that there are many Christians who are simply dried up riverbeds that aren't able to quench anybody's thirst. And so Jesus said, if you make yourself available, you're nothing but a riverbed. But if you make yourself available, you come to me and drink and appropriate what I am out of the innermost being, out of the innermost part of you, will flow rivers of living water. Elijah was a man that we could well pattern our lives after. It's interesting that in Scripture, he was first of all known as Elisha. And then he was known as Elisha, the man of God. And then finally, he was known as just the man of God. And so if you went into his part of the world and you asked for the man of God, everybody knew exactly who you would be talking about. That's the way I would like it to be in our Christian life, to be known as men and women of God. That's our primary responsibility, to be men and women of God, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we become rivers of living water that will pour forth from our life, and people that we come in contact with, in that way, people will be blessed and ministered to. It's Jesus himself ministering to people through your availability. And the interesting thing about this passage in John chapter 7 is that you start out thirsty and you end up a fountain. Isn't that great? You start out thirsty for the Lord and you wind up being a fountain that is quenching the thirst of other people. You start out with a hunger for the Lord and you wind up feeding spiritually starved people for the Lord. All he's asking is that you make yourself available. All that he's asking is that you be a man or a woman of God and you come to him with your needs and he will meet your need in such a way that he will use you to meet the needs of others. You be the riverbed. He'll be the river. Now, it's not only a command of God. It is a command of God because you cannot do what God has called you to do without it. But not only is it a command of God, it is a command to be controlled by God. It is a command to be controlled by God. The verb here is not only imperative. It's not only a command, but it's also a passive verb. Could be translated, let the Holy Spirit fill you. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. One preacher, while commenting on this verse, said, now I must confess to you that for a great many years I thought that God was reluctant to fill me with His Spirit. I read every book I could get my hands on. I more than anything else wanted to be all that God wanted me to be. I wanted to be usable, and I had the idea that somehow when I reached a certain spiritual plateau, as a reward of my spiritual growth, God would grant me to be filled with the Spirit. So I looked upon God as reluctant and hesitating, and I had to somehow beg my way into the fullness of the Spirit. But the Bible teaches the exact opposite of that. He said, let the Holy Spirit fill you. He wants to fill you. The only thing he's waiting for is your consent, your submission. So to be filled with the Spirit, is, as one man translated that verse, let the Holy Spirit possess you completely. Let the Holy Spirit possess you completely. It means that he comes to you and he is no longer simply the owner of your life, but he is also the operator of your life. One time I noticed over the door the words of an establishment, the words so-and-so, owner and operator. Now that's what Jesus wants to be. That's what Jesus wants to be in your life. For all of you, if you're saved here this morning, he is your owner. He saved you. He has bought you with a price. But the question is he also the operator of your life? Are you living under new management? A person has taken over and expresses himself through my humanness, through my human personality. To be filled with the Spirit simply means to let the Spirit of God control every area of your life. Now, that causes me to pause for just a moment. Because what some Christians are after is just the thrill of the fill. You know, to be thrilled with the initial filling. And some just want an ecstatic experience. If you want to be filled with the Spirit today, you mean to tell me that you want someone who will not tolerate any selfishness controlling you? Do you mean to tell me that you want someone who will not allow you to think of yourself first controlling you? Do you mean to say that you want someone controlling you today who will not tolerate even the slightest sin in your life? You want somebody controlling you today who is going to demand absolute obedience, unquestioning obedience to every command? See, that's what it is to be full of the Spirit. It's to let the Spirit completely possess you and control you. And I found in my own life that the Holy Spirit cannot really fill me and control me until two things happen in my life. Two things have to happen in order for the Holy Spirit to completely control you. First of all, as Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, you have to deny yourself. If any man wants to come after me, he wants to be his disciple, he has to deny himself, he has to take up his cross daily and follow me. First thing is you have to say no to yourself. Now, that's tremendous. Because I don't know about you, but myself is always talking to me. It is. Always making suggestions. When a lady pulls out in front of me and I have to slam on my brakes, myself says, you know, you just lay down on your horn. You can't let her get away with that. When I do something and somebody else gets the credit for it, what does myself say? Hey, you have to watch out for number one. You have to let everybody know how important you are. You've got to watch out. If you don't watch out for yourself, then who is? I'm always talking to myself. Self is always making suggestions about how great, how wonderful I am, or I should take the credit for what I do, or that I'm always right. You know, they're wrong. I'm right. I know I'm wrong. They're right. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to learn to say no to yourself. You're going to have to take a back seat. You're going to have to prefer others above yourself. F.B. Meyer, the great Baptist preacher of years ago, put it this way: you must dethrone self. S.D. Gordon was a great preacher. He wrote the Quiet Talk series. And as he was preaching along, occasionally he would pause and lean down in the pulpit and put his hand to his mouth and whisper, "Are you listening?" See, in every life, there is a cross and a throne. You tell me where you should be. Where should self be? Self should be on the cross. Jesus should be where? On the throne. Okay, we have to crucify ourselves. We have to enthrone Jesus. We have to dethrone ourselves and enthrone him. And that's another thing. There has to be a dethroning of self, but there must be an enthroning of Jesus as Lord. Wesley, after his Aldersgate experience, said he woke up the next morning with Jesus Master in his life. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's giving Jesus the throne rights into my life. It is giving into my will, and it's enthroning Jesus as Lord of my life, as Lord of all. And it simply means that now Jesus is able to do anything that he wants with me. Jesus is in absolute control. I surrender all. Really, the filling of the Holy Spirit is just the other side of the coin. If a person is filled with the Spirit of God, it's because Jesus is Lord of his life. And if Jesus is Lord in his life, then he's filled with the Spirit because the Spirit doesn't want any glory. And by the way, you can tell when a movement is really a spiritual movement of God or not by the position it places on the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We should. We should sing songs inviting the Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. But listen, if we stop there, we have stopped short. Because when the Spirit comes, you know what he's going to do? He's going to exalt Jesus. When the Spirit comes, he's going to exalt Jesus. He's going to put Jesus on the throne. He's going to make him Lord. It's not the Spirit that takes center stage. He's not leading the parade. The Holy Spirit always retires to the background when he has come. And when he has manifested himself, he then retires to the background and he pushes Jesus to the forefront. And a Spirit-filled person is a Jesus person. For Jesus said, when he comes, speaking of the Spirit, when he shall come, he shall what? He shall do two things. He will testify of me and he will glorify me, or he will exalt me. The songs that we sang today, they lifted up Jesus. That's what they did. The song that Julie sang this morning, Make Me a Servant, that's what it's all about. It's us dethroning ourselves. It's us getting up on the cross, and it's taking Jesus and placing him on the throne of our life, saying, Jesus, whatever you want to do with me, I give you the right to do it. Make me a servant. Make me your slave. Do you know all that was involved in being filled with the Spirit? Third thing. First of all, it's a command. Secondly, it's a command to be controlled. And thirdly, it's a command to be controlled continually. It's a command to be continually controlled. That verb there is not just an imperative. It's not just passive. It's also a present tense verb. Could be said this way, be ye being filled with the Spirit. Be ye being, continually being filled with the Spirit. I'm not advocating an occasional high. I'm talking about an everyday experience. Every day. I read in Acts chapter 6 where those deacons were men not filled with the Spirit, but full of the Spirit. There's a difference. Men whose lives should be characterized by fullness. A habitual, continual experience every day. A Spirit-filled experience. Now, I think that there are two ways that you can be filled with the Spirit every day. That initial filling can extend into a continual walk. That's what we want. It can spill over into our daily walk. Number one, by immediate obedience to every command. Immediate obedience to every command. When the Holy Spirit says, apologize, apologize. When the Holy Spirit says, witness, witness. When the Holy Spirit says, give, give. Immediate obedience to his commands. The second is instant confession of sin. When the Holy Spirit convicts, there is repentance. There is confession of sin. Now, it doesn't mean that you no longer sin. But it now means that when the Holy Spirit prompts you, you recognize that what you have done is a sin. You confess that sin. You acknowledge it to God. Instant confession, getting every barrier out of the way. A continual experience. That's where God intends us to live. That's where he intends every Christian to live. This is what Jesus meant when he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so to ask that personal question that I asked at the beginning of the message, let me ask it again. Is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? Is he filling you right now? How do you know? How do you know if he's filling you? Well, are you on the cross or are you on the throne? Hopefully you're on the cross. Jesus is on the throne. You must dethrone. He must be enthroned. And are you obedient when he commands you to do something? Or do we sometimes argue back and forth with God here? And are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit when he says, what you did is wrong? Do you agree with that and confess, yes, that was wrong, God? And then repent of that sin and ask for his forgiveness. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I really believe that God wants to use you. I really believe God wants to use you. I really believe that God wants to use this church. I really believe that. But in many ways, I see us as a dried up riverbed, waiting on the Lord for him to supply the river. It takes the pressure off you. It takes the pressure off us. It puts all the pressure on the Lord. But the Lord is faithful. If you will make a place for him, if you will acknowledge him, then he will be faithful to use you. You simply need to be available. That's it. You need to be available, but you also need to put yourself in a place where he can use you. You need to be thirsty. You need to be hungry. You need to put that yourself in a place where he can fulfill this command. You need to put yourself on the cross. You need to put Jesus on the throne. You need to be willing to instantly obey him. And you need to be willing to confess sin. You know, that's not that difficult of a thing. I guess the hardest thing is getting self out of the way. That's really it. That's the hardest thing, getting self out of the way. Making Jesus Lord of all. But once you have done that, out of your belly can flow rivers of living water. Your life will be like a river overflowing its banks that will touch the people that you come across, the people that you meet. How many of you want that today? How many of you want your lives to touch others? How many of you want the Spirit of God to so fill you that it flows out of you and touches those around you? Then are you just willing? Are you willing to say, Lord, I put myself on the cross, and I place you on the throne? Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to say, Jesus, I'm available. You be Lord. Are you willing to say, Lord, you've been asking me to do that thing, and I've been dragging my heels, but I want you to know this morning that I will be obedient. I will obey. I will obey you. And are you willing to lay aside the sin that so easily besets you? Say, Lord, I confess that thing is sin today, and I repent of that sin. Church, this is all it's going to take to see a great move of God. It's not some deep, complicated thing. It is just simply the Christians keeping their priorities right. What is your priority? Your priority is to be a man or woman of God. Your priority is to make sure that you're filled with the Spirit. And that's it. And Jesus will do the rest.